Blog Talk Radio.
This is the EWN Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Dr. Maish Seibel, a leading authority on women's wellness and menopause. A recent article in the New England Journal of Medicine found that most women are confused or afraid of estrogen, and many doctors aren't comfortable treating them. My new book, called The Estrogen Window, just hit number one bestseller status on Amazon. Find out what women are so excited about. Order your copy now at estrogenwindowbook.com and become a partner in your healthcare.
Well, I have to say that is the one that gets... the response is usually the deer in the headlights. Look, you know, it's like, oh my God, you know, what do I want? That's the hardest thing for people to answer.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
It's time for Life Interrupted Radio, a show dedicated to practical skills for your mind, body, and soul. We're hoping we'll go in one ear and stay there. Here's the host of the show, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome to this special series we're featuring here on Life Interrupted Radio, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. The NIH estimates nearly 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder. To put that in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. You'll be as surprised as I was to find out what autoimmune entails. I brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted. So let's get started. It's my Friday night, and I hope it's your Friday night too. I so enjoy being here with you at 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Friday night. I'm curled up here with a cup of Earl Grey. I know, 7 p.m. Earl Grey. Maybe the caffeine will be a bit much, but I always have fun with our guest tonight. It's a special night for me because this person's philosophy about life is having fun and let's make it an adventure. So tonight, buckle up and settle in. Let's get started. Tonight, going to be a little bit different because this unexpected event, I think, happens to probably 99.9% of us. And that's just losing focus, losing track, time flying by, all of those sorts of things. So I've asked my dear friend and I say coach extraordinaire, Lori Lawson, to come on and we're just going to have a conversation about how do we maintain focus, how do we prioritize. And one of the things I love about Lori is because, you know, she talks about coaching as a life-changing business, but we should have fun along the way. So I'm all for that because, you know, if you're dredging through something, you're going to lose focus. You're not going to keep your point of view on it very straight if you're dredging through it. So we're going to talk to Lori about how do we find the adventure in things that maybe have been on our to-do list a little too long. So let me introduce Lori if you haven't heard her on the show before, because she's what I call sort of my in-house life coach. She's a certified empowerment coach, professional credentialed coach to the ICF, as am I. She's the past president on board of the International Coaching Federation in New York City. She's the executive producer and creator of the Coaching Game TV show, as well as she also hosts two radio shows, Coach Chat and Meaning in Madness. Man, you know, Lori, I could just go on and on, but we'll just send them to your website in a little bit to find out how amazing you are, but they're going to hear it right now from your own mouth, my dear. So welcome for being on Life Interrupted Radio tonight, Lori.
Always a pleasure to be with you, Sharon, even if it's on air instead of in person. I love it.
Oh, goodness. And I, you know, when I was there in New York, actually stopped by, I got to see you. I was there to do an interview as well, and someone asked me after the interview, so what's your next book? And I happened to mention, well, I have this book, and I've been writing it for a little while. And, you know, that's the next book that's going to come out. And he said, oh, when can I expect it? And I was thinking, uh-oh. So I realized I'd sort of put it away. I wanted to think about it a little bit, ruminate on it a little bit more. Sometimes books are that way. I thought in my mind it had only been a few months. And Lori, when I pulled it out, the last round of edits was 2012.
Wow.
Now, I just about, you know, there was a deep inhale, like, really? That can't be the last round of edits. So I wrote the editor and said, send me your latest copy. And she wrote back, no, that's it, 2012. So I wanted to talk to you about focus, losing focus, prioritizing, because that book still has a lot of interest in and passion in my heart. I know it's going to be really valuable information, but somehow, you know, I didn't keep it up there in my focus. So what are some tips that you can share with us about letting everything else get higher on your list than some things that you want to do?
Well, I have to say, first of all, thank you for making me look wonderful, because I was going to use as a lack of focus New Year's resolutions.
There you go.
Me look great. Yeah. But it is so easy to get distracted. There are so many things. I know I can use that. An example is I'll go, oh, let me just see what's happening on Facebook. And it's 3 hours later, and I'm going, really? I've been not wasting time. It's interesting to say, listening to video clips, and it's like, okay, I think we all need a little fun time and a little downtime. But how do you actually manage to get things done? And one thing that I noticed was last year, and I've designated this the year of choice, because last year I almost killed myself. I was doing so much, I couldn't breathe. I was so busy. And I realized that I was scheduling things. People will call and go, can you do? And I would look at my calendar and go, well, yes, there's an hour. I can do that. And I was just scheduling from my calendar and based on time available. And I said, you know what? This is not going to work, because I can't keep this pace up. So I need to focus on the things, one, that I want to do. My philosophy has been for quite a few years now, I'm old enough to say, I only want to do things that are fun. You know, I've earned that. I've done the hard, ugly, yucky stuff. I only want to have fun, and I'm old enough to say that that's all I'm going to do. And I was having fun with everything I was doing. So that was what was really making it hard. But it's like, okay, now you have to narrow it down even a little more. So I think first you have to decide, where is your goal? Is your goal that, you know, you want to have exciting new opportunities? Is your goal that you want to make a lot of money this year? Is your goal that you want to gear it down and specialize in certain areas? First, I think you need the overall goal before you can say, if you don't know what your goal is, how can you determine, you know, how you want to focus? Obviously, your book was not a heavy-duty goal.
You know, it was at one time. And I think, you know, as sometimes in the writing process, we get to a point, and I'm not 100% clear, but got to that point where I just had to let it sit to think about.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, it just kept slipping and slipping and slipping until I brought that book out again and I reread it. And, you know, I went, gosh, this is pretty darn good stuff. I've got to bring this back to the priority list. It's funny how sometimes life just interrupts. Nothing major. But as you were saying, not having a really strong goal. And also, I find that sometimes I say yes to too many things that really aren't in alignment with that true one goal of mine. They might sound fun, they might sound good, maybe they're because someone else that I love and adore asked me, so I agree to do it. Could be any number of reasons, but I never calculate the true cost of saying yes, meaning what all else do I say no to if I say yes?
Oh, that's a great question. Yeah, by saying yes, what am I saying no to? You know, what else am I saying no to? I like that.
Sometimes when I stop and think about that, I have to say no to a few things, even if they did sound fun. See if I can get a rain check on him or something else.
Yeah, that's always good. Base it on your schedule, if you can. So where is your book right now on the priority list?
It's actually second on the priority list.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's pretty high. I've been spending every weekend now for 3 weekends in a row, actually a long weekend, Friday, Saturdays, and Sundays, writing it. And it's about rewriting it. Reading through the editor's notes again, agreeing or disagreeing with the editor's notes. I don't know if people understand the writing process, but it's not just a one-done type of thing. When you're writing a book, there's a lot of other people that go into writing a book. It's not a single type of event. So, yeah, I'm excited about it. And we can use sort of this idea of the greater, like, well, now is a better time for it to come out, or whatever rationalization, but I'm just glad that I'm bringing it back up to the top. One of the things I'm curious about, though, are how do you help people understand whether this is their goal or someone else's goal?
that's a difficult one. And for me, it's particularly difficult because I have a tendency, it's like, I'm a service person, I want to fill needs, and it's like, okay, I see what, you know, what this person needs, I can do it very quickly. So, yeah, I think, again, it's important to have a goal, and it's like, is this leading toward your goal? One of my questions is, it's like, okay, how much flexibility do you allow for the goal? I don't want to be so purposeful that I miss opportunities. So I kind of have like a checklist, and I used to be ashamed to say this, but my number one checklist is it fun? And if it's no, then it's like, okay, I'm not doing it.
So. I love it. I mean, so why would we be ashamed of that? I suppose, you know, it doesn't sound very professional, right?
I'm very hedonistic, but I don't care. Like age, with age comes a little bit of privilege. That's good. Then my second checkoff is like, is this a once in a lifetime opportunity? I mean, am I going? Is this something that I just won't get the opportunity to do again? I did a 3-day intensive training last week, and I wasn't even sure I wanted to do it. I was pretty sure it wasn't going to be a whole bunch of fun, but I was wrong. It was fun. But it was like, okay, the person was coming from Italy to introduce a brand new process to the United States, and this was going to be the pioneer ground floor. It's like, okay, yeah, can I do this in the future? Sure. If I go to Italy, maybe I could do it. If she comes back, I could do it. But it's like, you know what? This is worth putting aside 3 days, I think, of my schedule and getting it done, because it's almost like a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. So that's where the flexibility comes in. Does it have anything to do with my overall goal? Maybe. It might have potential. I might say, oh, I'm going to, you know, use this in my coaching business, and there you go. But that would be my second priority. And then my third priority would be, is it advancing me toward my goal? Not that if it, and if the answer is yes, full steam ahead. If the answer is no, it's like, then why have you gotten this far and why are you considering it? And it's like, okay, maybe it's another goal. Maybe it's a secondary goal. Maybe it's a wish list. It's like, oh, I always wish I could do that. And here's the opportunity, you know. So I think you need the foundation and the structure of a goal, but I think you also have to allot for a lot of flexibility.
Oh, true. as you were saying that. But sometimes we even have trouble setting the goals because so much, I don't know about, you know, a lot of people, but I find in my own life, as I look around, there are opportunities everywhere.
Yes.
And sometimes even just setting a goal can be a little bit difficult. Or perhaps I set too many goals. And I have found what I have to do is I begin to cross off some of those goals or put them in some sort of time frame of when I'm wanting to reach them. Otherwise, I become overwhelmed just by the amount of choices out there, the amount of opportunity that is out there. As we begin to go through that process of winning it down, and you said a fun, of course, and once-in-a-lifetime opportunities, those are fantastic. What are some ways, once we've said, okay, this is the goal,
mm-hmm.
and it's met our criteria, how do we keep it top of the list? How do we keep ourselves interested in it? How do we keep our, or maybe what happens if we lose interest? Does that mean it wasn't a goal?
I don't think it does. It means it wasn't a goal. I think it means that priorities shift. Let's, you know, certainly you could say, okay, my goal is to increase clients by 20% this year. And then you find out that you have a medical condition that you have to deal with. And it's like, well, you know what? 20% of clients would be nice, but right now I got to shift my priorities. I got to take care of myself physically. And then you can go back to it, but you may reevaluate after you've been through this whole process of taking care of yourself and go, you know what, maybe I don't want 20% more clients. Maybe I want more time to nurture myself. So I think you have to, one, allow for life and allow for that flexibility. I also like to do something that's called multi-goal, not multitask, but multi-goal. If there are a couple of things and you can get them all geared toward the paramount goal, that's fantastic. Then you can sort of couple them together and go, okay, I'm doing, let's say your goal was to increase your media profile. Okay, then I'm you know, I can throw in a radio show and I can throw in a television show, and I'll have 4 public speaking sessions a year. And so that's kind of all moving toward the same direction in different ways. And hopefully they will all, you know, come together and get you, one more rung up the ladder. But you just have to, it's a really a matter of focusing on where you want to be, where you need to be and where you want to be.
My goodness. I think that's the big question for most people is, where do I want to be? And even a larger question of, it's like, who am I? Or who am I becoming, kind of thing. But we need to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to continue this conversation on focus and getting your goals, getting, and also having fun as you're doing it with Lori Lawson. And we'll be back in just a moment.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more. This episode is brought to you by mindfulnessinactionbook.com. To get your free 4-minute guided meditation to relax, refresh, and renew in just 4 minutes, and who doesn't have 4 minutes? Stop by mindfulnessinactionbook.com now. This guided meditation is in handy MP3 format, so you can use it anywhere, anytime. Download it now at mindfulnessinactionbook.com.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to Life Interrupted Radio. I'm here with Lori Lawson, and she is a certified points of view trainer. She's also a certified empowerment coach, professional credentialed coach with the ICF, a credentialed EQ mentor. I could just go on and on. She's facilitated workshops at the ICF conferences and also at the Goddard Space Flight Center and NASA, as well as fitness magazines. You Can Do It Challenge Life Coach and retirement specialist with the BBC Radio and the BBC website. Oh, my goodness. Well, Lori, I get, I don't know, with all of those goals and things, I get tired just reading your bio. And we think about this idea of goals and focus, and obviously you've reached some of yours throughout your life here. Let's talk a little bit about this idea of, I still come back to the idea, I find a lot of people sort of muddle through, and they might set a goal and then they forget it, but they really have a larger question of, why am I here, or who am I? And they don't know how to answer those questions. When we begin to think about that, I know you work a lot with people in retirement, and that's definitely a time when we begin to see a big life change and things like, who am I now? That question comes up. How do you help people answer those questions?
Well, I have to say that is the one that the response is usually the deer in the headlights. Look, you know, it's like, oh, my God, you know, what do I want? That's the hardest thing for people to answer. I tell them go back to when you were a child. What made your heart sing? What made you really zip along? And what things did you want as a child? Now, of course, as a child, we all wanted to be a teacher, and those are the standard things. But what are some of the things that really brought you joy? And then it's like, well, how can you translate that to your life today? It may have been that you wanted to be the beauty queen of Maryland. Well, okay, you're 60 years old now, and that might not happen. But what could you do? Could you be a spokesperson for elder health? And what would make you go back to that state where it was like, yeah, I'm so sure this is what I want to do, and this is going to make me happy. I wanted to be a veterinarian. Well, you might not want to go to school, but can you volunteer somewhere? Or can you, do you want to focus on a job that would be in a veterinarian clinic somewhere? Something like that. Just try to return to the childhood dreams that you had and see how feasible they are now and how you can adapt them to your current situation. That I think if we go back, it's like when you're coaching and you say, okay, forget the story, but go with the emotion. I think if you go with the emotion, it was, I always thought that I was afraid of birds, and then someone gave me five birds all at once, and I would not have accepted them, but my husband was thrilled with the whole thing, so we took them. You know what? I spend so much time just watching these five little 1 ounce creatures, and that gives me so much joy. How can I translate that to what I'm doing now? And it was like it was stop and do something out in nature. Do something where you can appreciate, what you're doing. It doesn't have to all be done on the computer and on the phone and writing things down. It was like, well, you have to do at least one thing a week that's going to get you out there so you can appreciate all the cool things that are in nature. And I think that's the goal. It's like to keep your emotions fed while you're working toward whatever professional goal you want.
Oh, I think that's really profound, because the one thing that comes to mind is the idea that you said, let go of the story and go back to the emotion. Oftentimes, your first response was about go back to those things from childhood, and my first thought was, a few things that came up that had naysayers attached to it, like, you're a girl, you can't do that, or any of the other things. Yes, I'm of a generation where we heard that.
Yeah, you too.
And that idea of letting go of separating the story from the emotion, I think, is critical to begin to understand, as you said, which parts of it can you adapt, can you bring forth, without all of that story that maybe stopped you from pursuing it when you started out.
Yes, you have a beautiful story in your latest book about singing and how you were told you can't sing.
Yeah.
You believed it for how many years? Years and years and years.
Oh, yeah, over maybe 30, 40 years.
Yes, that was a long-lasting story. And then when you realized, I can sing. I'm not going in Carnegie Hall, but I can sing. It was a whole relief. But I love that. There are stories that we bought into that we were told as children. You can't do that. I was told I couldn't come to New York City, and it was like, really? Is there something at the tunnel that will stop me? But for a while I believed it, so I tried to make my life as full as I could in a small town. It was like, nah, this isn't working. I got to go to New York City. But I won't say I wasted. I got a college degree and climbed the career ladder. But I could have been here a good 15 years earlier than I came because of stories that I was told. I love that.
And we have to keep reminding people that, you know, you're not your story.
I think it's hard for people to understand this idea of story. We all buy into the story as who, I'll put in air quotes here on the audio, we are. Someone recently asked me that question, you know, who are you? And I had to stop for a minute because I was out of context, like, well, does she want to know, like, my profession? Or, you know, it was a very interesting moment where I was going through this whole mental list of being so out of, not sure of what context she's asking that question in. There was a moment where I stumbled on, how do I answer that? Do I answer that I'm host of Life Interrupted Radio? Do I answer that I'm a mom and a grandma? Do I, you know, it's an interesting question when someone asks you that idea of, who are you?
It is, and you have, again, the flexibility. You change, you know? It's today you could be, oh, I don't know, I'm somebody who wished they had gone further in college, you know, or, and then tomorrow could be, wow, I'm the best life coach in the world. So it all depends on, again, your emotion and who you are at the time. So I don't think there's a concrete answer on who you are. That's kind of like coaches, they tell you, have your elevator speech ready. Well, it doesn't work on everybody, and some days you're not who you are or who you're supposed to be in the elevator speech, and some days you are. So go for it, whatever you are. I would have done with the first thing that came to my head, which could have been something crazy. But
I'm trying to reflect back on what I did answer. I can't right now at this moment, but I just remember that momentary confusion because it was so out of context with where I was in the conversation. It was just like, what? Where'd that come from?
Who are you? Yeah.
Interesting, yeah. So, but that also had me for a moment reflecting on my goals and some of the things that, you know, okay, at the moment this is where I am, but maybe tomorrow or in the future, in the short-term future, the long-term future, whatever that is, it'll definitely change and be different based on those. But I found that for me, with the focus and the goals and once getting to be who I want to be, if I don't narrow it down each day to getting very granular here on our last few minutes, if I don't narrow it down each day to just one or two things that I got to get done that day, I notice things are going to happen, like the book, 2012.
You know what? And this is so crazy, and this is the benefit of Facebook, because I saw a quick excerpt on Facebook, and there's someone out there who has written a book called The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up, quite a popular book right now. But her theory is, and this is, and I'm using it for my entire life, but her theory is, if you're trying to get rid of, let's say, clothes, we always are going to get rid of clothes, but yet we think about, oh, we shouldn't do this and that. You should take everything out of your closet, put it all on the bed, and pick each one up and go, does this bring me joy? And if it doesn't, get rid of it. And then go on to the other parts of your house. And it's like, this is so simple. This is so crazy. I can't believe it. And yet it's like, so that's what I'm doing with the things that I'm doing every day now. Is this bringing me joy? And it's like, if it isn't, why am I doing it? If you know, there, and I'm not saying, you know, you have to do things. You have to obey speed laws. You have to obey, you know, you have to play by some rules. But it's like, and then when you walk into your house or you walk into your life, everything that surrounds you is bringing you joy. And it's like, that is so simple and yet so profound. And that's really how I'm trying to live right now. And it kind of narrows down the things that get in the way of the things that will really bring you joy. And I suspect, I know your book will bring others joy because I love your books. And I think it'll bring you joy to get it done and to finish it up. And so if there are other things getting in the way that won't, get rid of them.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Does this bring you joy? And that's where we started this conversation of like, you know, is it fun? But those are important critical questions to answer for sure. I want the audience to know how to get a hold of you, Lori, how to, you know, listen to your radio show, your podcast, Coach Chat, can't even talk here, and the Coaching Game TV show as well, all of those things. So what's the best way to learn more about you, Lori?
I think the best way is my website, and it's Laurie Lawson, LauriLawson.com. And ELJ stands for Empowered Life Journey, but it just don't, you don't have to write all that, just ELJ. So it's LauriLawson-ELJ.com. And pretty much everything that I do is on there. Then you can, there's a link to everything.
Oh, my goodness. As always, thank you for sharing your thoughts on focus, getting things done, goals. I know we went off track, but we always do, Laurie, when we get together, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But I always find our conversation so enlightening. So thank you for being, again, another guest and our resident life coach here on Life Interrupted Radio. It's always a pleasure to have you on.
Thank you for having me, Sharon.
The information provided on LifeInterruptedRadio.com is for educational purposes only. What you hear, read, and see on Life Interrupted Radio is based on experience only. The information presented here should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes. Always seek sound legal, medical, and/or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on Life Interrupted Radio. You've been listening to Life Interrupted Radio. To learn more, listen to other shows, and gain free resources that can help empower your life, be sure to stop by LifeInterruptedRadio.com. This episode is brought to you by MindfulnessInActionBook.com. To get your free 4-minute guided meditation to relax, refresh, and renew in just 4 minutes, and who doesn't have 4 minutes? Stop by MindfulnessInActionBook.com now. This guided meditation is in handy MP3 format, so you can use it anywhere, anytime. Download it now at MindfulnessInActionBook.com.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift.
Never has there been a better time for women to hack success. The shift is on and the breakthroughs are real. We're taking success to a whole nother level. Join us at the Women's Success Summit, a gathering of dynamic, smart women helping women. We want to learn about you and what you have to offer. Bring your A game and be prepared to transact some business. Oh, and by all means, dress to impress.
Register at eWomenNetwork.com.
This is the EWN Radio Network.